a word? When you're not ready, we just go home, and we ain't going to do it just to do it. Do you really want to hear a word this morning? I feel with all my heart, this is the interesting about this word, and before I get into it, God gave me this word actually last week, the same week he gave Dad that word that you all remember, which is about greatness. How many remember about the word about greatness, about taking a step into greatness? And he gave me a word that was kind of on top of it, and it's kind of crazy how God does that. And so the only thing I can say, I think this is part two. I think this is a series that God has given us. We didn't know it was that way. We didn't plan it. We didn't get some Lifeway series. Nothing wrong with that. We didn't go order some series or watch some internet preacher and write down notes and copy that. God just kind of gave us this message at the same time, which is kind of crazy. But that's how God does, isn't it? And so I think what we're going to look at again today, in a way, is greatness once again. And maybe a little different perspective, maybe a little more to it, not different, but more, maybe the second step of what Dad was talking about. This idea of what is greatness, and what about our lives, or what about our walk with God defines greatness? What does greatness look like for you and I? I think that's a lot of what we were talking about last week, right? There was a famous bodybuilder one time, weightlifter guy, best there ever was, some say. And they asked him, you know, about his job. And he said this. He said, everybody wants to look like a bodybuilder, but ain't nobody want to lift no heavy weight. And so another way of saying that is, and you all may have seen these, is it memes? Memes? What is it? It's spelled M-E-M-E, and I don't know how to pronounce that word. Meme? But there's another one that says, everybody wants to be a lion till it's time to do what lions do. Another way to say that is everybody wants greatness till it's time to do the things that make greatness people great. And so what I would say is this, there's a cost to greatness, and we know our greatness comes not because of our own merits or what we earn, but it's because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. But yet there is a receiving part of what we have to do to walk in greatness. God, we are not a puppet. We're not Pinocchio, and he's not a puppet master. And just because we pray to him, he's not going to come down and force us to have behavior that lets us walk in purpose. He has a purpose for you that is great. But whether we walk in that purpose or not is an intentional choice of ours. We have a choice in this matter. How many knows you have a choice? You know, just because God has a purpose for you does not mean everyone. Because if that's the case, all the people that have lives that are tragic or they don't really go, you know, then we would say, wow, God didn't have a purpose for them. Well, that's not right. God has a purpose, but we have a role in this thing. And so if we had this idea that we want to be great, we want to live great lives, and we want to, you know, lead great lives for our children, and we want to lead our children into greatness, we want to lead our spouses into greatness, and we want to lead our community into greatness, and we don't want to be known for a community that's about drugs, and we want to be a community that lifts God up greatly, then there's a cost for you and I. And so I think that's something we have to consider in this thing as we look forward into this message, is what is greatness, and what do great people do that other people don't do? Because if God, yeah, that's good, Holly. Because if we all have a purpose and some walk greatly and some don't, then that means that some people do things differently than other people. And so I think what we need to be asking God in this message or in our lives is, God, what do I need to do that allows me to walk in your purpose, so that I could leave a legacy behind? I've said this for years. You want your life to be an intersection between destiny and legacy. You want your legacy to equal your destiny. God gave you a destiny from the day you were born. You want to leave behind that much. You don't want to leave anything behind on the playing field. You don't want to put anything in the dirt with you. All I want to be in the dirt, I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to definitely get there. I'm trying. But all I want to be in the dirt is to be an empty shell, a cocoon. I don't want to be any purpose left on. I don't want any meat on a bone. When I eat a chicken wing, I don't want any meat on a bone because that thing's too good. I don't want any meat on the bone. And so I don't want to leave any dreams to the grave, or I don't want you to leave any dreams in the grave. So we're going to look at greatness today. Is that okay? Is that okay? All right. And I got to say this because some of you guys don't like sports. I'm going to only talk about sports about 3 minutes. But I do believe it's a powerful analogy. And you don't have to know anything about sports to know anything about this, because I'm going to talk about just for 3 minutes about boxing. And you don't have to know anything about boxing to know what this message is about. Because if you don't know the single thing, if you don't know the difference between Mike Tyson and Michael Jackson, okay, you know this much. You know what it's like to get hit in the jaw. Everybody in this room knows what it's like to get hit in the jaw. And I don't mean necessarily physically. Some people may not have never got hit physically. I have. But here's the deal. Everybody knows what it's like for life to hit you, to get hit in the jaw, to get hit with a gut puncher. Everybody knows what it's like to get hit with a punch you didn't see coming. Everybody knows what it's like to be knocked to the canvas and you don't know if you're going to get up or not. You know what that's like, whether you know a thing about boxing or not. You know what it's like, because life hits hard. And we all know what it's like to get that unexpected blow. I'm going to play a short video if any of you want to get that ready. And so the only thing I'm going to say about boxing is this. There was about a year ago a boxing match. And I bring it up because God's just been speaking to me about that. I don't think there's anything accidental. When we do things in life, God shows us things. But there were two great champions that were fighting about a year ago. And they made a lot of money, millions of dollars, and it made a lot of news. And the whole concept of this was this. Both of these men had a claim to see who was champion. They both claimed to be champions. And so they got together to settle the thing and say, who really is the champion? And one of the guys was this big, tall guy from England. He's kind of goofy looking, but he's undefeated, and he's champion. And he'd had depression, and he'd battled all kinds of suicidal. He'd battled suicide thoughts, and home run, man, home run. He had battled things, and he battled depression, and he'd had, you know, detox and drugs, and he found a faith in Jesus. And I don't judge him. I don't know his heart. That's just what he says. I have to take people for their word when they tell me that they found Jesus and they help them out of things. I'm going to take their word for it, okay? I don't judge them. I don't know what their life looks like. I don't second guess because they don't walk the way I walk. But I can say this. That's what he says. And the other guy also said he was champion. He claimed he should have been the champion. And this guy was a killer, man. He had knocked out 42 people. Only one person, even that was early in his career, even could survive the ring with him. He got beat. But nobody could take his punches. He was a killer, and he was known. His name was Wilder, and he was known for this quote that he said, I want to kill somebody in the ring, which is horrible, right? I mean, I know boxing is a violent sport, but, you know, nobody really wants to kill somebody. You just want to win. But this guy was a beast, and these two guys got together, and they had a fight to see who would settle the score and who would be the real heavyweight champion of the world. And millions of dollars were at stake, and millions of people watched all around the world this fight. And they were going along, and the big Tyson guy, Fury, the guy that was winning the fight, the guy that was overcome drug addiction, he was winning the fight. He was doing real good. He was doing really good. And the last round, somebody say the last round. See, sometimes in life we can be going along, things pretty good. Seems pretty good. I think I'm rounding the corner. I think I'm turning the page. I think things are looking up. I'm starting to see light. Have you ever heard people say that? Things can be starting to look pretty good. It's the 12th round. He's up on the scoreboard. He's winning. He's jabbing. He's okay. All he's got to do is survive this last round, and they're going to put the belt on him, and he's going to say, I'm the real champ, and I'm great. And one thing happened he didn't see coming. Wilder, that's that killer puncher, man, hit him with one of the hardest punches people say has ever been landed in a heavyweight title fight in the last round. I mean, in the last round, you should be hugging. Is that Juwan back there? You should be holding on. You should be hugging. You should be running. You should be backpedaling. You don't need to be taking a punch in the 12th round when you're ahead. And he got hit with a punch he didn't see coming, and it knocked him down, and he looked like dead. It looked like he died when he got hit. I mean, it looked like timber. And I'm going to play this video, and then we're going to get into the Word of God and away from boxing, okay? Well, watch this video.
bingo punch.
Through all the battling you got to go through to get to where you want to get, who's got the right to stop you? I mean, maybe some of you guys got something you never finished, something you really want to do, something you never said to somebody, something, and you're told no, even after you pay your dues. Who's got the right to tell you that? Who? Nobody. It's your right to listen to your gut. It ain't nobody's right to say no after you earn the right to be where you want to be and do what you want to do. And that's life. The only thing I'm asking you guys to leave on the table is what's right.
I'm a true champion, a true warrior. I went to Germany to fight Klitschko. I come to America to fight Deontay Wilder.
The biggest comeback, not in boxing history, in sports history, from a man that's come back from hell. And it's fine.
I was down on my back, and I rose to my feet on the brink of defeat, because I am the champion in my heart.
Absolutely.
And I should have won that fight tonight. That you can come back and it can be done. Everybody out there who has the same problems that I've been suffering with, I did that for you guys. And if I can come back from where I come from, then you can do it too. So get up, get over it, and let's do it. Seek help and let's do it together as a team. I did it for you guys.
So what happened, if you guys get the lights up a little bit up there, please. What happened was amazing was most people, and Juwan would know this because Juwan has watched boxing his whole life. He's been a boxer. The most amazing thing about that fight was that was, most people think, the hardest punch ever landed in a heavyweight fight. And nobody's ever seen, it's the historians or the fans, nobody's ever seen a guy go down that hard and get up. You see, what happened, which I didn't finish the story, was the guy got up and he finished the fight and he got a draw, and 1 year later he got a rematch. But he got up from the canvas. And I think that's what great people do. You see? I would be lying to you if I said great people never get hit. I would be lying to you if I said great people never go down. But I will say this. Great people get up when they go down. And so I don't know. As I said, I don't know how many people in this room know a hill of beans about a boxing match. And I don't really care what you know about boxing matches. But I know there's some people in this room that's been down before. I know there's probably some people in this room that are down right now. You're not out because you're here. You're here. If you're here, you're not out. Put your hand on your heart. You hear the thump, the thump, the thump. It's not over. The ref's still counting. You might be down, but you're not out. And it's never too late to get off the canvas and be the champion that you were made to be great like you were made to be great. But you gotta get up today. And so you might be here and you might be down. You might have been hit by a punch you never saw coming. Those hurt bad. Or you may be down because of an accumulation of little punches. I've seen fighters that one punch really didn't put them down. No one single punch. But it was just over and over and over and over. And eventually the accumulation of punishment put them down. Maybe that's your story. I don't know. Maybe you were scared. Maybe you were taking too much damage and you thought you were going to go out. And so you took a knee to weather the storm. But either way, you're on the canvas today. I don't know. But God is telling you, if you're on the canvas, there's no shame in that game. But it's time to get up, because you were made for more and you were made for greatness. And if you're not on the canvas today, praise God. But I know of all my heart, if you're a human being, you know what it's like to be on the canvas. So don't judge anybody while they're down. I know you can tell a real boxer because they don't judge people for going down. Couch potato guys that sit and critique fights and watch fights and ain't never took a punch from nobody sit and criticize and say, well, I wouldn't have went down from that. You ain't never been in a ring in your life. You don't know what you're talking about. Don't judge other people because you don't know the fight they're in. You don't know the punishment they took. You don't know the punches they took. Because I'll tell you this, if you're honest with yourself, everybody in this room knows the smell of the canvas. Everybody in this room, I still remember the smell of that old carpet of that church. It smelled like sweat and feet and funk and everything else. But I remember it like it was yesterday because one time I dove into that thing face first. And I know what that thing smells like. And I'm never going to forget the smell of that place. If you know the canvas, you'll remember the smell. You'll remember the smell of the canvas. So if you're in this room and you're a human being, you've been knocked down before. But praise God, you ain't been knocked out. Because we're here. We're here. And we got breath in our lungs. So if you're in this room and you're down, I just say, get up today. That voice you hear, you'll hear two voices. One of the enemy that says you're a bum, you're a has-been, you're a nobody, you was never meant for greatness. That's for somebody else. That's a real champion. He never did nothing wrong. You've messed up your life. You've squandered your life. You don't have no reputation left. You ain't got nothing. That's the voice of the enemy. He's telling you to stay down. But there's another voice, and it's coming from the corner, and it's saying, get up because Jesus loves you. I've called you. You're great. You're more than a conqueror. And today, I say, get up. So I'm going to briefly, we're not going to be here that long, I don't believe. Last week, it was even the same guy with Deb. Last week, Alonzo was Peter, I believe, if I remember that right. I think, Juwan, I want you to be Peter. Come up here, Juwan. Hurry, Juwan. Hurry, you coming down the aisle for a fight, Juwan. You coming down the aisle for a fight, Juwan. Let me tell you something about this guy, okay? Let me tell you about this guy. Some of you guys don't know this because he's very mild-mannered. He's 20 years in the Marine Corps. He is a Marine. Not only that, he did 3 tours in the desert, 2 in Iraq, 1 in Afghanistan. You're talking about a tough dude. Not only that, he's in the U.S. Marine Corps Olympic, U.S. Marine Corps Boxing Hall of Fame. Do you know that? Did you know we have a celebrity? I know you know about Boo. All right. We need a pair of gloves or something to go beside Boo's plaque. Because he's humble. But this guy fought like famous people that you see on TV. This guy was offered a pro scholarship, but he couldn't give up his Marine Corps stint. He couldn't do it. But this guy is a fighter. This guy, you may think he's just, but you know the real tough guys, they don't strut it around like that. You probably learned that in the Marine Corps. The guy that's strutting around, you're going to knock him out quick, aren't you? It's them quiet ones you got to watch. Yeah. So Juwan's Peter because I think Juwan knows what it's like to fight. You ever been knocked down before in a fight? Timothy Bradley, former world champion, 154-pound world champion who fought on HBO and pay-per-view and all that stuff, knocked him down. He's been knocked down. You've probably been knocked down sparring before. Been knocked down in the gym before? Yeah? Okay. I figured you had. I mean, one of your coaches just laid you out, huh? That's tough love. So Juwan's going to be Peter, and we're just going to briefly, I'm not going to read every scripture, but if you're taking notes, I'll give you the scriptures. I want to talk about Peter because I think of all the Bible characters, David included, anybody you want to name, Judas included, I think Peter failed the most. Peter's failure was greater than Judas's failure. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I can explain why. The only difference was Peter got up and Judas stayed down for the count. You see, some could argue, and I'm not going to get into your theology. I'm not going to argue because I don't know the answer to it. But some would argue that Judas was a revolutionary, and he wanted to overturn Rome. Some people say, you know, he saw Jesus walk on water. He knew about things. He knew about dead people getting out of the dirt. He knew that how Jesus would be in a crowd. They'd try to get him, and God would make him invisible. You can read this in the scripture. And just like this, like stealth mode. That's in the Bible. He would turn stealth mode and just get out of there. I mean, Judas saw this with this cat. So some people think Judas was just going to get some free money and going to try to set up Rome to come try to get Jesus so Jesus would have to fight. Because Jesus was saying, we're not going to overturn Rome. I'm going to go to a cross. And Judas didn't like that plan. Judas said, no. I want to do it my way. And that's when Jesus said, the devil entered Judas. Just like he told Peter earlier, get behind me, Satan, when Peter wanted to do things his way. So some theologians would say Judas really wasn't trying to kill Jesus. He was wanting to make him fight because he knew that Jesus, they couldn't do nothing with Jesus. He was thinking, oh, when Rome comes and tries to get Jesus, it's on, and Jesus is going to just take him out. We're going to rule. Some people think that. I don't know. But I know this, one of the greatest failure, in my opinion, in the Bible was by a man named Peter. But because Peter did something that he didn't just give into a weak flesh moment. He didn't just commit a sin. He didn't just see something that was temptation and he gave in. No. He had a level of betrayal that there's nowhere else in the scripture any greater than. He was standing beside Jesus Christ, his King. The man that he said, Jesus, I will die for you. If they come and kill you, they're going to have to kill me. And they came, and yeah, he did a little ruckus at first, but then he ran. And he followed for a little while. Looking him in the eye. And when he had to make a decision, when going got tough, he had to make a decision. He ran, and he left him alone to be beaten and killed. I don't know how that had been in Iraq if me and you had been in a skirmish and I looked at you, Juwan, and I saw them come at you and we made eye contact and I just ran. And I found out later how they just tortured you, cut you up, killed you. I don't know about you, but that's betrayal. I mean, Peter had sat around campfires for years with Jesus, 3 years. He'd had the experience in his boat where Jesus got in his boat and the fish were caught. He'd seen Jesus walk on water, and as you heard last week, he said, Lord, if it's you, I'll come. And he stepped out of the boat and he took a step to greatness. He did something nobody had ever done. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah were there, and he heard the Father speaking. He saw all that stuff. He was there when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He took Peter in to the centurion's daughter when he said, Talitha cum, little girl, get up. And a dead girl got up. Peter was there all that time. He was the one that said, Jesus, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Jesus, I'll fight for you. Jesus, I'm a warrior. Jesus, I'm all in. He said all those things. And things were going good for a while. But in the 12th round, he took a punch. And he went down. And he went down harder than any man this word of God ever documents. He took a punch. And he went down hard. And if you didn't know the end of the story, if I was teaching this to people who'd never read this book or didn't know these stories, if we were in some third world country and I was preaching this message, and they didn't know the story, they would assume the story ended with Peter on the canvas. Because Peter took the hardest blow. It's found in Luke 22, 54 through 62 when Peter denied him. Jesus even prepped him for it. That'd be like the coach telling Tyson Fury, you got one more round, just stay away from him, champ. Stay away from him, champ. Jesus said, you're going to deny me. And he said, no. He was put on notice to be cautious, to watch. But he still got hit with the punch. And he went down hard. And what would have been going on when he was on the canvas? You got to think of this. What thoughts would have been going through Peter's head on the canvas? Especially after he found out he got up. After he found out Jesus got out of the grave. What would he think? Jesus will never take me back. He's mad at me. God's mad at me. Some of you think God's mad at you. God's mad at me. Why does this have that stuff happen? Is God mad at me? Peter might have thought God's mad at him because he let him down. There's times in our life we do bad stuff. We mess up and we get knocked down. And sometimes we think we've let other people down and we're ashamed to get up. We're ashamed to go on. I don't know what Peter felt. I'm sure that was part of it. But Peter ran away. He stayed down for the count for a while. And in the Gospel of John 21, if you are making notes, you can read all this. I'm not going to break it up and read every scripture here, but I'm going to talk about them. In John 21, Peter was out on the water in a boat. You got to understand this. Peter was meant to be a fisher of men. You remember what Jesus told him? Peter, right that moment, was meant to be a life changer, world changer, radical, on fire man of God. But he tried to run away because he had been knocked down. And so he was out on the water, basically staying on the canvas. I don't know. Maybe he just hoped. I don't know what he hoped. That's what he knew. So maybe he went back to what he knew. He was a fisher before all this happened. Maybe he was just going back to what he knew. Maybe he was just hoping. I don't know, this boxing might not be for me. Maybe I could just go back to fishing. This world changing might not be for me. This disciple stuff, I don't know. I know the preacher said that. I know Jesus said that, but it might not be for me. Maybe I'm supposed to just go back to being a fisher. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Once you've tasted how good he is, nothing will ever satisfy you. I don't care how hard you try. Nothing will ever satisfy you again. Once you know, you can try all you want. It ain't gonna happen. Nothing will ever satisfy you once you walked with Jesus. Once you walked on water, motorboating on water ain't gonna be the same. Once you walked on water, fishing ain't going to be the same. I hate to tell you, I like being on my boat. It's relaxing. But there ain't nothing like being in a service and worshiping God and seeing miracles happen and salvations happen. You can take my boat if that's what it takes, but I'll be in the house of the Lord. Because you know why? Not because I'm holy. Not because I'm better than nobody. I've just tasted it. Ain't nothing that satisfies me no more. If I can find something better, I might. I'm human. But there ain't nothing better on this planet. You could go where you want looking. You'll never find anything better. And nothing will ever satisfy you again. So Peter was out laying on the canvas in the form of his boat. And they saw a piece of land out there. And they heard a familiar voice. I think about Rocky Balboa movies when Mickey would yell from the corner, the craggly old man, "Get up, you blankety blank, because Mickey loves you." Right? Right? He heard a voice. He was laying in his dysfunction. He'd been knocked down. He had been knocked down. He thought he was out. He thought it was over. He thought the dream was over. But he heard a voice. A familiar voice. In that moment, Peter had a choice to make, just like Tyson Fury had a choice to make when he was on that canvas, just like you and I have a choice to make when we get knocked down in life. Peter had a choice in that moment. He was in the water. He could have went away. He could have rowed his boat. Row, row, row your boat gently away from Jesus, right? He could have. Yeah. He could have rowed his boat in the opposite direction, scared to death, thinking he's just going to yell at me. What will he do? I've seen him raise up the dead. I've seen him walk on water. What will he do to me? Will he light me on fire? I don't know, right? Peter has no idea what Jesus is going to do. He just hears his voice, and he knows he's had the greatest failure in human history. And he has a choice to make. You see, we all feel like our mistake is the greatest mistake in human history. But it is, because it's ours, but all of our mistakes are the same. We've all messed up. We're all the same. And so here Peter had that choice to roll away, run away. In other words, he had that choice to stay down for the count or take a chance of getting up. You see, there's a risk in getting up. Listen to me. When you get up, you take the risk you're going to get more punishment. Do you get what I'm saying? In a boxing match. Come here, Juwan. Come down here. Get down. Fall down. All right. You get down. The ref will give you a little distance. Now watch this. This is serious. He gets up right now. What do you think's coming? What am I trying to do as soon as he gets up? There's a chance getting up. It's risky to get up, because if you get up, you might take more punishment, and the devil will remind you of that risk while you're laying there. But the problem is, you'll never know greatness until you get off the canvas. Because I told you earlier, nobody wants to be everybody wants to be a lion until it's time to do what lions do. Lions get up. Great people get up, and they take the risk that they might fall again. But that risk, listen to this, that risk pales in comparison to the pain of living your whole life on the canvas thinking about what might have been. The what ifs will haunt you more than any fight you ever got knocked down. The what if I would have got up? What if that thing that Jesus was telling me was real? What if that crazy pastor who kept texting me saying, God's got a purpose for you here? I know I'm running from him now. I'm running. Who's Pastor who? Oh, I'm sorry. I've just been busy. I'm just busy. You ain't that busy. Come on, man. Donald Trump tweets all hours of the night, and he's the president. You can respond to a text. That's just an excuse. That's an excuse. But what if he was right? And what if I never got to be great or know the greatness of my purpose that Jesus has called me to walk in because I was afraid of the risk and afraid of the punishment, and I decided to stay down for the count? God loves you, and he's called you. And that risk, that what if, is too dangerous. Take the risk of getting hit again. I've been hit many times, several times. I don't say many times. I could take a punch. I'm not hurt, but what I mean is, well, I'll get over it. But it's the what ifs that will kill you in life. I never sat up late at night thinking about a fight I was ever in. I wasn't that many. But the ones I was in, I never sat up late at night worrying about, oh, I got hit. But what keeps you up at night is the what ifs. What if I'd done this? What if I'd tried that? What if I'd have got up when the count was 9 instead of laying there? The devil wants you to stay down for the count. So Peter had a choice to make. 6. Get down, Juwan. Don't dance. I said get down, Juwan. He went. 7. He's got a choice. You got a choice. We got a choice. I got a choice. But Peter got up, and he ran out of that boat, and he ran to shore, and he faced Jesus, the one who the last time they had locked eyes, he ran from him, betrayed him, and left him to be killed. He ran on that shore. And Jesus, I guess maybe Peter thought he's getting ready to get a waymaker, you know. I don't see that Jesus ever punched anybody. I know he threw over some stuff. He wrecked some stuff. Man, he tore up a building one time. But if Jesus wanted to, I bet he could punch. But he's love. But Peter was probably scared going up to Jesus, wouldn't you think? And Jesus looked at him eye to eye and said, "Do you love me? Then get up. Do you love me? Then get up. Do you love me? Then get up. Because I made you to feed my sheep. Go feed my sheep, son. Get up. You was knocked down, but you're not counted out. I've not counted you out. I've never counted you out. The devil's trying to count you out. Your family's trying to count you out. The world is trying to count you out. Religion is trying to count you out. But Jesus has never counted you out. And he's saying, get up and do what I've called you to do. Because I've called you to change the world." So Peter got up, and something remarkable happened. In the coming days, he would get time to train with the champ, to train with the greatest trainer. The greatest trainer is not Mickey, and it's not Customano. His name is Jesus, and when he makes disciples, he makes champions. He is the trainer of champions. You are called and you are chosen and you are undergoing training right now because the greatest trainer in human history, in world history, is training you for greatness. To be discipled. To be disciples. And so, Peter got up. And here's something that happens in a boxing match. When you get knocked down, I know you're going up and down like a yo-yo. Go down. Down, down. I don't know how good his knees are, but we're going to find out. 7, 8. Now get up, Juwan, before the count. Now what happens in a boxing match? What? Listen here. He's up, but the boxing match still doesn't go on. The referee has to go look at the boxer, put your gloves up. He says, put your gloves up, don't he? And he looks him in the eye, and he does something really powerful. He backs up and he says, step forward. And what that signifies is the fighter is ready to engage. Because he doesn't want the referees, you know, doesn't want anybody really getting killed. And if you're not willing to step forward, the fight will not go on. And the referee will actually wave off the fight. If you say, step forward, I've seen referees do this. Step forward, step forward. They give you about 3 chances. If you don't do it, he does this. He waves off the fight and he loses. And it'd been the same as if he stayed down. You have to get up, but then when you get up, you don't stay in that place where you were down. You have to step forward in an offensive position of engagement. One year, they're putting pictures up. Later, you guys got a group text that they're on the group text that some crazy Lost Creekers were going to watch a fight. I know, we're supposed to be Christian and we're watching people beat each other to bloody. Judge me, I don't care. But 1 year later, they called it a draw because Tyson Fury had won the whole fight. He just got knocked down, but because he got up, they drew the fight and they got to fight again. 1 year later, just recently, they fought again. And this time, Tyson Fury wore him out for 7 rounds, knocked him down 3 times. And now he's the real champ. He walked into the greatness he was supposed to be. 1 year later, after taking the hardest knockdown anybody had ever seen. Peter, 50 days, say 50. 50 days after taking the hardest fall in human history, arguably the hardest fall in the history of the Bible, 50 days later, he had a chance to do something that God had ordained, preordained, predestined him to do his whole life. from the moment Peter was born, and he didn't know it, God had a purpose for him to give one message. You got to get this. You got to get this. Some people feel insignificant. They say, well, I don't have a microphone, and I don't preach every Sunday, and I don't travel to all these places and preach, and I've not had hundreds and hundreds of people come forward in altar calls. Understand this. If Peter would have died that one day, God purposed him to preach one message. You got to get this. Because in Acts 2, that thing we call Pentecost, that we kind of get that here, or think we do. I don't know if we really do. We think we get it. I hope we get it. That thing called Pentecost, when the fire came down, when the Spirit, when they gathered in one heart and one mind and one accord, and they were together, and they were breaking bread, and they were worshiping together, and they were going to each other's houses, and they were spending all their time together. When the fire came, when Pentecost dropped, it says this. They were up in the upper room, and they thought they were drunk. They were going crazy, man. Pentecost had dropped. The Holy Spirit had come and empowered them to change the world, and something changed inside those old boys. And everybody said, they're drunk, they're foolish. What they're doing doesn't make sense to our way of thinking. But it says something in Acts 2:14 I want you to pay attention to. Pay attention to this verse. It's after that, and they said, people just said they thought they're drunk. It says this. Peter stepped forward. There's a room full of people, and nobody in the room had been downhearted than Peter. If anybody was going to step forward, you would think it wouldn't be Peter. He was the most disqualified man in the room. If somebody was going to come forward and speak for this group, you would think it would be anybody but Peter, James, John, whoever, Matthew, name anybody. Anybody but Peter would be the qualified person to step forward. But Peter stepped forward. Acts 2:14. And do you know what he stepped forward to do? I told you he was born to preach one message. He, for the first time in human history, you got to get this. He was the one that, for the first time in your Bible, in the history of the universe, to preach the gospel. What we call the gospel now, Jesus, sinless lamb, bore our sins, crucified for us. The great exchange, we took on his beauty and his sinlessness, and he took on our sins. The great exchange, who would bear those sins on a cross and die for you and I, who would go into a grave, and 3 days later he would get up and defeat death, hell, in the grave. And now we have a new covenant. That message had never been preached until Peter preached it. 50 days later, you say, well, Jesus preached it. No, he didn't. He lived the gospel. He told us parts of a new covenant of love God and love others. But there was no gospel until he hung on a cross and died and got up from the grave. There was no gospel. You got to get this. Jesus is the gospel. He lived the gospel. He is the word. But Peter preached the word for the first time. 50 days after going down, the hardest punch anybody ever went down. What's their excuse? We can lay and waller and whine about it all the time. We can get up and change the world. So he gave what was the most important message in the history of the church, because remember this, Jesus never made a church. He made disciples. The disciples made a church. That's why he poured into them. I heard this said that leaders don't train sheep, they train shepherds. Because there's only so many sheep one man could tend. We are finite resources. We all have 24 hours a day, and it's a fool's proposition to think, well, I could just fit more hours in a day. You could try. It'll be fruitless. You only have so much you can do, and we could all probably do more, but there will come a point when you're at your 24th hour, and that's just all you got. There's only so many sheep. So what we've got to do as shepherds, and this is where you guys got to get it, and I've got to get it. We got to train people to get off the mat. Disciples, get up. Get up. I just committed a crime. I don't know if that's a felony. I sold it a police officer. Get up. God, give me the grace. Get up. I'm not just pointing out certain people. You all need to get up. You need to get up. You need to get up. Because if I can only really care for, you can only care for so many dogs. Lord, help me. I got too many cats. Too many cats! I'm going crazy! You can only fit so many cats or sheep in a house. But if each and every one of you took 10 cats... We could take every homeless cat off the streets of Wise County and raise these cats. Hallelujah. Do you get what God's saying? We're not here to help sheep. For a little while you do. You take care of sheep. But the sheep got to become shepherds, and they got to start helping other sheep. Or this thing will never get any bigger in this room. I mean, praise God for this room. Praise God for this room. But I promise you, this room will never expand unless the sheep become shepherds and start taking care of other sheep. That's greatness. And you've been called into that. And that's what Peter walked into. But it means that you got to get off the canvas when you get a hit. Because the first thing that happens when you take a hit is the devil gets in your ear and says, quit. So as we finish up this message, I would say this. Here's the question. You could sit down. I know you hoped I was finished. I almost am. But I don't want to lose you on this point. I think if you really care about this message and the way it goes along with last week's message, then the question I think I would be asking if I were sitting where you're sitting is this. Okay, Heath, why did Tyson Fury get off the canvas when the other 42 guys that took that hit didn't? And why did Peter get off that canvas when Judas didn't and other people didn't? We all know people in the community that have taken hits and they're staying down. And so, well, I think what I'd be asking is, how do I get it? What is it about me that gets me up when the other people aren't getting up? Because if you're around people that aren't getting up, you know what I'm talking about. So I think I would want to say, preacher, you know, if I took questions right now, I would say, how do I get up then? What's the secret? Are some people just born for greatness and others are just fodder? Or does the Word of God really mean that everybody has a purpose and everybody can be great in their own calling? Do we want everybody to get up, or do we just want to get people we like to get up? We don't want nobody else to get up. Urbi? Somebody say Urbi? Urbi, Urbi. Some churches, you say that, they think you got a speech impediment. The question is this, and this is what we will finish with. What in the man when you're knocked down? What is the characteristic? What is the secret to getting up? Because there's people in this room, you're down right now, and there's people in this room that are going to be down in the future. I hate to say that. I don't wish that on you. I just know life will hit you, and that's just life. And there's going to be times I'm going to take licks in the future. I just know it. If I live long enough, that's just part of it. I wish I could promise you a bed of roses, but you're going to take hits. And at some point, we got to get in our heads. All right, we're going to take hits. Let's accept that instead of crying and asking Jesus why all the time. Why, Jesus? Why, Jesus? Why, Jesus? We got to accept that sometimes we're going to take hits. But it's about getting up. It's not how hard you hit, like Rocky Balboa just said. It's how hard you take a hit and keep moving forward. And so, what is the characteristic that got Tyson Fury up? He kind of said it. What is the characteristic that got Peter up? And what's the characteristic that's going to get you up? Here's what it is. It's profound, right? Everybody. Tyson Fury knew, listen to this, that he did not belong on that canvas. If you're laying there and the devil gets in your ear and says, this is where you belong, you're a piece of crap. Sorry, as a preacher, I shouldn't say as a preacher. I said a long time ago, I got somebody mad. We had a visiting preacher one time, and I got up there and said, I don't like preachers. And he walked out. He didn't walk out. I think he walked out afterwards. And I didn't mean to hurt his feelings. But, I mean, I just don't like the hypocrisy. I mean, I believe in respecting God's house. But let's be real here today, because real is what helps you and me. Fake ain't help nobody. Fake ain't help nobody. And fake ain't never going to help nobody. Fake's just getting together and acting fake. The devil will get in your ear and saying you're nobody. And this canvas that you're at right now, listen to this. It all comes back to identity. He's going to say this. This canvas you're lying on is exactly where you're supposed to be. This is where you belong. This is your destiny. If you get up, you're going to get more hits. This is where you belong. You belong on the canvas. That's what the enemy will tell you. But what separated Tyson Fury was, he knew he was a champion. He said it. He knew he was a champion. And he might have been knocked down, but he knew he was a champion laying down. And champions don't stay down. That canvas was not his home. That prison was never your home. It was a place you got knocked down. But inside you was the heart of a champion, just waiting to get up and step forward. And brother, you did today. So throughout that time period of days, when Peter was laying on that canvas, hearing that count and hearing the accuser, remember what the devil was called? The accuser of the brethren. Hearing the accuser tell him to stay down for the count. Stay down. Stay down. Stay down. I wonder if Peter, just like Tyson Fury, knew. No. Oh, Jesus, I felt so bad. I don't know if I can ever get out of this, but I know. I remember Jesus that time. I remember that time around that campfire. When you came to us at Caesar Philippi and you said, guys, disciples, who do men say that I am? And they looked around and they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus said, oh, no. But who do you say I am? And Peter stepped forward and said, you are the Messiah. Yeah. the Son of God, the Christ. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. You know who you are, Peter, Simon? You're Peter, Petra, the rock. And upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You are Peter the rock, and that's who you are. You might have been knocked down, but you're a rock and you're laying on the canvas. It's time to get up again. No doubt he remembered that Jesus said, you're Rocky, you're the rock, you're the champ. I'm going to build my church on the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When he was laying there, as he heard all those accusing voices, how many times did you hear the echo of Jesus in the flesh telling him who he was made to be, that he was made for better? There's always going to be two voices when you're laying down, when you've been knocked down. But Peter had no doubt remembered that I may be laying down, but Jesus told me I wasn't built for this. He told me I was somebody, and he told me I had a purpose in this thing, and he called me, and I may be laying down, and I don't know where this, how this is going to, I'm going to get out of this. I have no idea, but I do know that he told me I was the rock. And I don't belong on this canvas. Maybe he remembered John 6:66, when a bunch of them left him. When a bunch of them left him, and he looked at him, Jesus, and he said, are you guys going to leave me too? Maybe kind of flash forward into a little foreshadow. He said, are you guys going to leave me too? And Peter looked at him and said, where else can I go? Once I've seen this, once I've tasted this, I can lay here, I can pretend I'm too cool, I can pretend it don't affect me no more, I can pretend I'm struggling, maybe I am struggling, but I know once I've tasted this thing, where else will I ever go and be satisfied? So what greatness entails? And I don't mean greatness like there's like the top 1%. I mean like the greatness that means that every man and woman was made to be great because he gave you a purpose, and you can fulfill your purpose like nobody else can. All I can do is stay in my lane and fulfill my purpose, but I can't fulfill yours. I do believe that God will allow certain people to pick up the slack and help people up, and we'll fill in when we need to fill in, help people, that's okay. But I mean ultimate purpose. Whether you get off the mat or not, I can't fulfill for you. He can't fulfill for you. Mama can't fulfill for you. Grandma can't fulfill for you. Husband can't fulfill for you. Wifey can't fulfill for you. You have that purpose. And I can't be that champion like you can. I can't win your fight. I can't run your race. I got to stay in my lane. That don't mean we don't care. We care. We're running together. But what I mean is, you have purpose and greatness in you that only you can accomplish. And no matter how many punches you take, no matter how many times you get knocked down, you got to realize when you're laying on that canvas that you're not made to be on that canvas. It should feel awkward. It should feel foreign. It should feel like something just ain't right. You can't be comfortable on that canvas. Ain't no pillows in a boxing ring. Ain't no blankies. Ain't no teddy bears. Ain't no snuggies. Ain't no suck-suck nom-noms, whatever those things are, pacifiers. It's supposed to not be comfortable when you're laying on the canvas. Because if you get comfortable, you'll stay there. So I'm going to finish with this. I brought this today as, a prop, but I'm going to talk about 1 second. 1 minute, we're done. This is a treasure to me. There's only two of these in existence. Is that right? Four. Okay, I'm sorry. But it's not worth as much now. I won't talk about it. Well, one out of four in the planet is still pretty good. But I've got one of these, and it means the world to me. And real quickly, this says, Juwan, you know who this is. Some of you might in the room, many of you won't. Dale might know. It says Jack Dempsey. Jack Dempsey was Mike Tyson before there was a Mike Tyson. Matter of fact, Mike Tyson patterned himself after Jack Dempsey. Jack Dempsey was the one that wore all black, no robe, just came in the ring, no business, all business. I mean, that's who Mike Tyson copied. That was in the 1920s. And this glove says Jack Dempsey Everlast. And when my dad was a little boy in the 1950s, his father, who was you've heard the story, was an abusive, raging alcoholic at that time. But later on, God restored that, and that's great. I never had to face the alcoholic. He was a pretty tough guy. I had to face some fire at times. But God had done some things. But bought him these gloves. And they would do weird things. Like he told me this. And back when he was a kid, like 5 and 6 years old, the dads would all get around, I guess, and drink or whatever and talk and laugh. Just, you know, how some people do. And they'd get these gloves. They bought them. And they'd put the kids to wear the gloves and just beat each other up, you know. And I'm kidding you. It was fun to them, you know. No joke. They had boxing matches, and, you just bet on which kid you want to bet. I'm going to take Pastor R today. Oh, no. You better never bet against Joyce. I don't know. It would be child abuse today, right? But what my grandfather didn't realize when he gave my dad this glove was how many people over the years these gloves would impact. Because when he gave this glove, he just thought it was amusement or something kids would give, you know, sporting goods. And, you know, back then you give boxing gloves and baseball bats and footballs. And I guess now they give phones and iPads or whatever. And we wonder why we're soft and have ADHD. I don't make light of any of those things, but I am saying we got too much stimulus on our minds. Our kids do, man. I quit on that. But they do. They're constantly getting junk in their head. But when he gave this glove, he had no idea that over the years, Dad would hold on to these. And at different points in life, when somebody would be struggling or going through something in our family, Dad would take this glove. There's one of the others. See, I got one. He's got one. I don't know if Jenny might. I guess everybody's got one. There's only four. I didn't know. I thought there was two. I thought I was special. But look at this. When my mother was battling. They are a pair. Maybe God's saying something there, huh? When my mom was. Didn't know she was in the world on a morphine pump. My father would take this glove, put in her room and pray over her and cry. Say, you're a fighter. Fighters fight. You gotta get up. When we have family members that are really going through stuff, this goes on loan temporarily. I don't give it away. This will not be given away until the Holy Spirit releases me to give this away. I might loan it to you. But this is valuable to me. Because all the crises that he's brought this little glove. Think about it, it used to fit his hands. All the crises that he's tucked this little glove and dropped in people's lives. And saying, fight. Fighters fight. You're made to fight. We're smiling. You're made to fight. That's what you do. You get up off the canvas. When fighters get counted out, they take off these gloves. They unlace them. Right in the ring, they take them off, don't they, Juwan? Because when you get counted out, you don't need them no more. But you're not counted out. And you need these gloves. You got to have your gloves on. Because fighters fight. No matter how hard the punch is, no matter how much you didn't see it coming, you got to realize that you were made to lace these up over your hands. Your hands were fashioned for war. War. But you can't stay on the canvas. Greatness requires more. And if you're not willing to give it, nothing's going to change. Ever. But if you're willing, then great things are going to happen. Great things. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine that 62 years old? Jack Dempsey's been dead 100 years or something. No, he's been dead since the 60s, I think 69 or 70. God gave this glove to a little boy from a drunk man to remind him and thousands of people for years to come that you're a fighter, you're a champion, and to get up. So if you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I know I've not quit. I've not backslid, whatever. I've not quit. But you're not. You're here. Hallelujah. You're here. Praise God. You're here. You ain't quit. But I've took some punishment. I've took some punches. And maybe I feel like I'm down. Maybe I've just been on one knee taking a breather. But I'm on the campus. There's no crime in that. There's no shame in that. We've all been there. It's okay. But here's what I got to tell you. You do not belong on that canvas. That is not your home. That is not your destination. It's a setback. And it's a setup. You got to hear this. The devil says it's a setback, but it's a setup for your comeback, because your belt awaits. Your championship awaits. You are made for more. Fighters fight, and fighters get up off the floor. You were made for more. Hallelujah. So all we got to do is remember, Jesus said you were made to be more than a conqueror. You're the head, not the tail. You're first and never last. You are destined for greatness. You are destined to change the nations. You were made to be fishers of men. Greater things shall you do than even he did. You are made to raise the sick and raise the dead. You are made to lay hands on people. You are made to prophesy. You are made for great things in the kingdom. This is a great time. This is the greatest time in the history of the church. And you are here for a purpose. It's time to get up and fight and fight and fight. And get that eye of the tiger back, because we're ready. This train's moving. This train's moving. And we need some people on board to change the world and fight beside us. Hallelujah. Fighters, fight. You don't have to be taught to fight. You're a fighter. And that's just what you do. Nobody has to teach a lion how to be a lion. It's just what it do. Thank you for being patient with me. You were meant for greatness. But greatness requires getting up off the canvas when you get knocked down. And the way you do that, never get comfortable on the canvas, and you always remember who you are. You're chosen and you're a champion. And when you're laying on that canvas, you say, I got to get up because I'm a champion. And champions don't go down on their tail. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Could you bow your heads with me for 1 second? Hallelujah. I may be wrong. Maybe I just missed it. Everybody misses them every once in a while. But I believe God was talking to some people today. But God's speaking to me today. If you're sitting there wondering who this message is for, I think this is one of those messages that really, it should be for everybody in here, because we all get discouraged. We all get tired of the punches sometimes. But today, God sent you a wake-up call, a reminder that says you're a champion, you're made for greater things, and you're going to get up today. I believe with all my heart, it's not if you're going to get up, it's when you're going to get up. And I believe that when is right now. I believe that. Let me ask you a question. Nobody's looking around. Every head bowed, please. I want to respect everybody's right to privacy. How many say, you know what, Heath, I know what it's like to get knocked down. I know what that's like, where, you know, you're just going along and you get whacked and you hit the canvas. And I'm not out. I'm not quit. I'm not knocked out. But I get down. I get discouraged. I'm tired sometimes. I doubt. I worry. I wonder if that's you and you know what that feels like. Would you just raise your hand with me all over this room? Hallelujah. Hands all over this room. Thank you, Jesus. That means people are being honest. That means people are being honest. And how many feel like sometimes you hear the count? One, two, and you hear that enemy voice saying, don't get up. Just don't get up today. Just don't. I mean, just don't. Just give up. I mean, can anybody be honest and say, I know that voice. I've heard that voice. And I hear that in my ears sometimes. Would anybody be honest and raise your hand and acknowledge that, yeah, the enemy talks to me, gets in my head, and tries to keep me down for the count. Now I want to ask you this question. We're about to finish. Nobody's looking around. I want you to respect this moment. Nobody move. I don't care if your bladder is about to bust. You stand still for 2 minutes. How many would say, I know I've been hearing those voices, and I know what it feels like to be knocked down, but today I've heard Jesus. I've heard a voice tell me to get up, that I can get up, that I need to get up. If that's you, would you raise your hand all over? Anybody that says that today, I want you to put it high. I want you to put it high. Don't be timid. Champions, you can't be timid. You got to reach for that belt, man. You got to reach for it. This is part two of the walk into greatness, the step into greatness. But every great person, every great thing, every great team faces adversity, and it's what you do with the adversity. It's we get up when we get knocked down. So keep your hands up for 1 second. I'm going to be fast. You can switch hands. I'm going to count to three. And if you want to get up off the canvas, I told you, what did Peter do in Acts 2:14 after he'd been knocked down? He stepped forward. A referee always makes the fighter step forward to make sure they're really willing to fight. So I'm going to ask you in just a second when I get to three for everybody to stand up. But if you're going to get up and fight, because you know that's what you were made to do, then I want you to take a risk of faith. It's a risk. I'm going to tell you, it's a risk. You might take more punishment. That's what the devil's telling you. You can't live with the what ifs, because you know in your heart you were made for more. You listen, if you're fighting that right now and that's going through your head and you're struggling with coming forward, I'm going to tell you something. You can debate it all you want. There's people in this room right now that you're still hearing the enemy's voice. But you can't live with the what ifs. Life's too short. You've got to take a chance today. You've got to take a chance. And life is too short to live with the what ifs. I know I can feel it in my spirit. I see people in this room who are struggling with the decision to come forward. You're afraid to be accountable. You're afraid to stand out. You're shy, whatever the devil's putting in your words. But God is calling you to step forward today. He wants to change your situation. He wants to change the situation. He wants you off the canvas. But you got to take a risk today and take a step forward. And God is saying, do it. He's saying, get up, because I love you. Because I love you. You say, why should I get up? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. One, two, when I get to this next number, I want you to come forward. Three. I'd like everybody to stand. And if you're in the fight and you feel like fighting and you're ready to fight, I'm going to ask you to step forward. I'm going to ask you to step forward. I want to ask you to come all the way up. I got to see your eyes, man.